How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I'm your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com, and now I reside here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some even call me the Tom Brady of blogging, the Conor McGregor of podcasting, even the white Tupac of screenwriting. Also, the king of the bean, me, the bean, aka Boston, me, the king. The man who is always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Today is Tuesday, June 4th, 2019. How are you all doing tonight? Everybody enjoying life? Everyone doing their thing? Out and about? Are you going to work? Are you coming home from work? Are you preparing your dinner? Are you wrapping up your dinner? Are you doing your dishes? However you listen to the T Podcast, maybe on the treadmill at the gym. I don't know. However it is, the audience is growing. I appreciate it. Continue listening, enjoying my antics. Continue sharing the podcast, putting it the ratings up there, the reviews, sharing it on social media. I appreciate that. I really do. I got a lot to talk about tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I am in the middle of a crazy busy weekend. I'm in the middle of allergies kicking in. I'm in the middle of the Boston Bruins playing their games, got a lot going on at work, dating adventures, so much that I want to get to. I squeeze all these podcasts. I promise to get 2 or 3 out a week and do what I need to do here. This week, I want to give you an update on my life. I want to do a review later on this week of Godzilla, the King of Monsters. And then I want to do one with B-Lo. Don't know where the fuck Habibi is. Eventually, I'll get him in, but I'll give you sports updates as well. Tonight, I want to start off with Tigger. That's my cat. Talked about him on the podcast several times. He's an intelligent little tiger cat. Tiger cat Tigger. It's basically tiger underscore cat Tigger on Instagram, on IG, for all you people following along. Tigger does the posting. I don't. I kind of just help him. We've talked about this, right? Tigger is very intelligent. Now, my update I want to share are 2 things here today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this. On June 4th. Tigger is so smart. I've spoken about how he knows how to jump. He knows up. He knows how to sit. He knows how to fetch now. Tell him how to fetch. I spoke about that. He knows how to say, I love you. He's very smart. He can communicate. He's very relaxed. Very friendly. Loves me. He's up my ass. Very good one-on-one when I bring a lady over or a friend. Not so much with the crowds. He tends to hide when there's a number of people. Because he likes to get to know you, wants to smell you, gets to know your scent. That's Tigger. He's a very affectionate, loving little guy. Got me through a dark time. That's how I bonded. He was my therapy kitten. You know, I had all stuff going on, my depression, my mom, anxiety. Tigger now, I think, took on some of those mannerisms. I think he has a separation anxiety from me. He lets me know every day as I try to fucking leave the house. He doesn't want me to go. I don't know what I'm going to do when I go to Cuba. Going to Cuba in July. I'm going to be away for a while. Obviously, I have people, someone taking care of Tigger, feeding him. I need to see how he's going to do. But he's a good little guy. Train him as a dog. 2 things he's been doing lately. Now, again, I've had him neutered. He's going to be a year old the first week of July. So he's about 11 months now. And it's not like he's acting out. He doesn't have his balls anymore. I clipped his fucking balls. He's hitting a year, so you multiply that by 9 lives. I guess he's going to be a 9-year-old. You know, like a little boy. Likes his toys. Does that shit. In my new place, and I've talked about the Tea Palace. Been here about 2 months now. It's a new building. And in my old place, it was a brownstone. I had old doors, old doorknobs. Tigger would sleep in the bedroom with me. I'd take him in. Again, I was going through my depression. I really wasn't going out dating a lot. This new place, I wanted to break that habit. I didn't want him sleeping in my bedroom in this new place. The old place was an old bed, old sheets, old comfort. Everything was old, and I got rid of it all. This place, spoke about it on here. I got new furniture. Excuse me, I got a new bed, king-size bed. It's wood headboard, wood footboard, wood, like, around the whole area. The bed is actually elevated pretty high. King-size bed, custom pillows. The bed's built for me. The mattress, got all those testings done. And I got a 900 thread count on all my sets of sheets. And also, ladies been coming by a little bit more. Maybe they want to stay over. I don't want Tigger up their ass while bothering them. I don't mind when he does it to me, so I kind of broke him out of that habit. But when I sleep now, he's outside. He sleeps out in the living room. He sleeps and he has a little perch. He has a little cat house. Looks like a cat. It's a house. He has his bed. I got throw rugs up here. Nice big rugs. I have the couch with a chaise lounge built in. Two swivel recliner chairs. He has his own private fucking bathroom. He could pretty much sleep anywhere. Not the bedroom. Don't let him in. The bedroom's like a master suite. I got my bedroom. I got the big bathroom. I got my walk-in closet. I got another set of window with my reading chair, reclines and it swivels, looking out to Fenway. I love it. So I only sleep like 6 hours a night. With my heart and my brain and the shit that's been going on, I try to get more sleep now. I've disclosed that on here. I'm on meds. I'm feeling better. I'm on my routine. Some days are rougher than others, but for the most part, I'm wanting to live with this reflux. Supposedly, that's what it is. I still want to get more tests done. And I need to get 7 hours sleep, at least six. And Tigger, I go to bed. He tends to sleep throughout the whole night, except sometimes he'll get up an hour before I wake up. And I want the max of my hours. And how do I know that? Well, let me tell you. Not so much that he meows. He a little bit meows, a little bit whining. I don't really hear that. In this new place, like the old place I said, it was an old brownstone had doorknobs. This place is handles, door handles. So the intelligent little fucker that he is, he jumps up on the handle. How do I know this? Well, I could hear it from the inside. And I didn't discover this until a couple of days after the first time this happened. He jumps up on the door handle, puts his weight down, basically straightens out his front paws, and it brings the weight down. He stays still and presses the door handle down. And then he just pushes the door open with his head in his paw and he comes right in. When he did that one day, I couldn't believe what the fuck I saw. It was like a raptor from Jurassic Park. You know, when they open up the fucking door. He is a species. He's evolving. I was like, you son of a bitch. Couldn't really yell at him because, one, he doesn't know any better. Two, I was kind of proud that he could figure that shit out. I created a monster. I am Dr. Frankenstein. He's Frankenstein's monster. He's becoming intelligent. This could be like how Planet of the Apes started, Planet of the Cats. So he figured out how to open doors. So now when I go to sleep at night, I lock my door. Also, some people think cats are murderous. Maybe he's sharpening a knife. Maybe he might want to kill me one day in my sleep. Gotta lock that fucking door. So the door's locked. We've learned, he and I, to live with that. Still tries to scratch. Doesn't do any damage on my door. Tries to open it up. He knows I want that extra hour. Then he'll give up after 5-10 minutes. He still tries that once or twice a week. So now that we adapted to that, something that happened last week, again, he's not acting out. He's kind of a kitten still. I know under two he's supposed to be a kitten, but he's intelligent for his age. Now, one night I was sleeping. I got a lot of drawers in my kitchen. Some are low. This new place, again, it's just me. I don't have a lot of knickknacks. I don't have a lot of shit. I'm a minimalist, even though I bought a lot of new stuff for this place. But everything has a function, a purpose. So my drawers all house something that I need. Two lower drawers. One was like a standard Italian. If you know any Italians, I am Italian. I think you've read about it on T-Blog around here. Italians got a thing with plastic bags. Oh, we do. In Boston, Massachusetts, finally has the plastic bag ban. So I try to consolidate as much plastic bags as I have. You never know when you're going to need a plastic bag. It always has a purpose. My mother put that in my head. My aunts, my uncles, all that shit. So I got a drawer that had plastic bags, my garbage bags, my smaller bags, the bins from my trash in the bathroom, Ziploc bags. I had basically the bottom drawer was full of bags. I got a microwave built into my island and my counter, and the bags are underneath. That's one drawer. The other low drawer, there's only two low drawers, is off to my stove under like three other drawers. So it's a set of four. It's built into my counter. And that drawer had everything I got from my new furniture, the warranties, if you will, the chemicals you need to get stains out, spray guard it, all the tags that came with that, because everything's under warranty, threw that all in that drawer. That drawer I probably would never even use. The problem with these drawers is they have handles, kind of like, see where I'm going with this? The door. Tigger, when I woke up one morning, not just the one drawer with the trash bags and plastic bags, not just the drawer with all the stuff from the furniture, both drawers were fucking open. Now, at first, I'm not going to lie to you. There's been some things I've been thinking about my mom, some things I'm not ready to share about the podcast. And my mother always would say, she wants me to say that to my father. If she ever passed away, she would come back and haunt him. Because my father was a fuck and I was a ball buster. Part of me, with the things that have been happening with my mom, thinking about the afterlife and all that, I honestly thought that my mother, because this building is fairly new, so I don't think anybody ever passed away in my apartment. Probably a third or fourth resident maybe has lived in here. The building's only been around for like 9-10 years. I thought my mother was playing a trick on me. I thought she came back and was haunting me to bust my balls. Believe me, she has every right to. She had to put up with me for 41 years. 41 years of me busting her balls. I thought my mother would be doing something like this to bust my balls. So I was like, holy shit, what is going on? I shut the drawers, let it go. Came home from work that night. Both the drawers were open again. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Now, the logic of Tigger basically going to a door and pressing down and open that makes sense because I physically saw him do this. I didn't think a cat would have any desire or the ability to figure out how to open up a drawer. Oh, but I was wrong. I was very wrong. Come on. Another night from work. The drawers are open again. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I shut the drawers. Get ready. Throw my clothes on. Down a shake. I go to the gym. I come home from the gym. Both the drawers are open again. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Again, as intelligent as he is, as quick as I think I am, I didn't put two and two together. I did not think this would be Tigger. Shut the drawers. Nothing was being pulled out. Go to bed that night, wake up the next day. Now some of the trash bags and plastic bags were pulled onto the floor. I'm like, okay, this is definitely Tigger. Took everything out of it. Both drawers. One, I wanted to get to the chemicals. Two, I wanted to choke on the bag. I love the cat. It's probably one of the few things I actually love besides Wesley Snipes, my car, and Tom Brady. So I didn't want him to fucking choke to death, obviously. He's been there for me. I gotta be there for him. So now I take everything up. I close it, close the drawers, go to work, come home, open again. Close them. That night, I go to the gym again. One of them was only open. I come back, close it, shower, eat my meal, sitting down, watching. Again, it was recent. It's probably the Celtics, I think, were done. So I was probably watching the Bruins or a Sox game. Finishing my meal, watching TV. All of a sudden, I hear a noise off to my right as I'm looking at my TV. I look over there. I see Tigger at the draw. He has his paws put between the draw and the handle, straight. And he's just looking straight ahead. And he starts walking backwards, pulling the draw back. And then he just lifts his paws up. Doesn't even look at the draw, doesn't even smell because he's been in there several times before and walks away. Matter of fact, he started walking towards the other draw and he starts smelling that. And I look at him and go, what the fuck are you doing? And he looks at me like nothing's wrong with that. So I caught him. I'm like, no, you can't do that. No. So now we're back to, again, I don't want to hit the little cat. I like him. I don't want to hurt him. So I'm back to the spray bottle. I thought we were beyond this. So I sit him down. Give a little spiel, like, I know this is a long bit. I didn't expect to go into this for almost 15 minutes. But I had to sit there and say, you're better than this. You're intelligent. You're almost 9 now in cat years, almost 1 in human years. You could do all these amazing things. I talked about, you know, the whole fetching and the saying I love you and all this shit. You're a therapy cat. You're my boy. You're my homie. You built a following on Instagram. Everybody loves you that meets you. You know, I had a heart-to-heart with him. Thought I got through with him. I was using that maybe someday as if I become a dad, you know? You're not really supposed to yell at the kids, sit them down. Of course, eventually I'll end up yelling at my kids. I'll probably end up fucking throwing one of them out the window if they get me pissed off. But I don't want to do that with this little furball. So, again, next morning, you know, I go to bed. Next morning, I wake up. What do you know? Both the drawers open again. So, no matter what I do, the talking, I squirt him when I catch him with the squirt bottle, you know? He gets mad. He goes, arr! He makes these grunts and these fucking little moans and groans. We're going on 2, almost 3 weeks of this, and it's not stopping. No, he just opens it up and walks away. He's just doing it now to fuck with me. Again, part of me gets mad. The other part's like really proud that Tigger is able to bust my balls. Again, I think my mom has something to do with this. Like, I don't have any kids yet, but one, she used to say, you know, busting my balls if she ever passed away. The other thing was, you hope you have a kid like you one day to bust your balls. So I think she has something to do with this. Anyway, I wanted to fill you in on Tigger. Quick update for all you people out there. I like to obviously brag and boast about my Boston teams. As of this recording, The Bruins are up 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals. They're on the road again Monday night. This will be up after that, but hopefully it'll be 3-1. I think they may tie it up, St. Louis. When this goes up on Tuesday, it may be 2-2. The Bruins, it's Boston. Boston, the Bruins always been looked at as the fourth team. I think around here during the decade of dominance, almost two decades of dominance since 2001, I think the Patriots were obviously number one up there. Then it went the Red Sox. Then it went the Celtics. And the Bruins are always down. Bruins are always like, hockey was affiliated with the hardcore, hardworking, blue-collar crowd in Boston. That family, a lot of people were in that aspect. A lot of people looked at the Bruins like hockey was a different type of sport. Even though hockey is one of the most expensive sports to play, as a kid, I couldn't afford to play hockey. I never even learned how to ice skate because it's very expensive. Hockey doesn't get the respect as the other three around Boston. And I could say that. The Pink Hatters are out in full force. There are people going to games, watching the games, talking like, we want the cup. You know, I'm not going to knock you guys. I'm a little older. Back in the day, I would go off on you. Fine. All of a sudden, you want the cup. You can't name anyone past the Bergeron, Pasta, Marchand line. I know you can't, but you try. Maybe no Chara because he's been around for a while. Maybe you throw on Tuca because you hear the announcer saying that. You know, it's people jumping on that. And back in the day, I would get mad about that. But the new me, the improved me, I just like the fact that all the Boston's rallying behind yet another team. We just don't get sick of winning the championships around here. We love it. We support our teams. And now we have a shot here, and I hope we win the cup. I hope I get to go to another parade. I want to see 2 Stanley Cups in my lifetime, maybe more. It's just great seeing this, and I think St. Louis is a better team than how they're playing. They're a hard-hitting team. I think they're going to come out and check and put a beating down on the Bruins, and I think this will get pushed to 7 games. See how they go. The Bruins won the second game, well, the third game, to make it 2-1. They won 7-2. That was an ass-whooping on the road, which was good. But St. Louis, I think, can rebound, and what they're going to do in game 4 is what they did in game 2, and that's hit the Bruins really hard. So I'm expecting them to tie it up, but we'll see. I wish I could have Habibi on here and talk a little bit more about the sports, but I want to share that. I could give a quick update on the Red Sox for all of you that care. If you're not from Boston, you probably don't. Maybe you do care because the Red Sox are playing like shit again. We're at, as this recording, we're at, what, 30-30? We're back to, we're a 500 team again. Could barely take a game against the Yankees. We can't win a series that matters. The pitcher may be on, then the bats are off. The bats are on, then the pitching's off. The bullpen is shit. They're not going to make it to the playoffs with a bullpen like this. I don't know. I don't want to call it a World Series hangover, but this team looks bad. They don't look like a playoff team. They got to stop making some moves. Now it's June. You know, you got to know where you are as a team, your identity, then come back from the All-Star break in July. And that's when you make your run for the playoffs. So is it make a break yet? No, but we're close to it. And if this Celtics team, my bad, if this Red Sox team isn't at least in second place, 5 games behind the Yankees come the end of this month, they're going to have a lot of catching up to do. Because that wild card's pretty close between Tampa Bay and Texas with us right now. And who knows who else is going to catch us come towards the end of the season. So this friggin' Celtics got eliminated. They're gone. The Bruins are close, 2 wins away from winning the cup. And the Red Sox may not even be a playoff team after being the defending World Series champion. So, wanted to get that out there. Last week, I had a great week. Memorial Day, I spent it with a lady. And one thing I want to get into tonight, what had me thinking, and something I'm going to call the quarter system. And back in the day on T-Blog, I'd have all these, like, I'd do the 80-20, I'd have the 50-50. I've had all these, like, dating stories and thoughts and formulas, and I transcribed some of them over to the podcast, and I'm gonna continue to do that. Something brand new is, like I just said, I'm calling it the quarter system. 25%, right? 25, 25, 25, 25 makes up the whole 100%. And here's what I'm looking at. I've been dating a lot. That's no secret. Share that on here with B-Lo. We got a bit going. Something that was entertaining all of you. All that fucking swiping put me in situations where it was nonstop dating and dating. As much as I've been trying to stick to my routine, I'm trying to... This woman got this in my head because she's taking on this model this summer too. The summer of yes. So I'm not really saying no to like going out on a Monday, spending a holiday with someone, going out on a Wednesday, cheat meals, alcohol, booze, Memorial Day, I was doing shots. A couple nights I was doing wine. And spending time with her and all this dating, but mostly with her, made me come up with this quota system. And I spent 41 and a half years, almost 42 years come this August on this planet. And I've been dating for a very long time. That's something I'm not ashamed of, nor am I proud of. I'm right in the middle. And I've shared that on here on the podcast. I shared it on T-Blog. I'm not a serial dater. I'm not a professional dater. I don't want to keep on dating. I do more and more now. The year I had losing my mom, I see myself more. I would love to be a dad and a husband secondary, but I see myself doing that. Thinking differently, I think I've did everything I wanted to do as a single guy, and now I'm hoping there are people similar to me, women out there, similar to my situation. And they are. When they go on these dating apps, doing this bit with B-Lo, there are women in similar situations. And I want someone, which is clear to me now, that obviously doesn't have a lot of baggage, but has done something, educated, well off in their career, doing well for themselves, live on their own, or maybe a homeowner, travel the world, had the same policy that they had to do some things for themselves and their family before they could actually settle down. Been in some relationships, thought they had a few good ones, came and went, they had their heart broken, they broke some hearts themselves, very similar to me. I can't date someone that doesn't want to have children, and I can't date someone that already has children. So it's tough because I've been trying to work in that area. And it's just not for me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's just not for me. So the last few I've been seeing have been very similar to what I've been looking for. With that aside, you know, there's some things that you want out of someone. And I'm pretty sure all you people in relationships look at your significant other, you look at your spouse, you look at your wife, you look at your girlfriend, you look at your boyfriend, you look at your husband. And you're with them for a reason. And there's certain things that you want. You can make this list. One thing, I think earlier on, if you got into a relationship when you were younger and got married younger, you kind of really didn't have the opportunity to come up with a list because you two grew together, right? I'm the opposite. I've always had a long list because I got to know myself really well. And all this dating in these 41 years, almost 42 years, is that I know what I don't want better than what I did want for the longest time. And now I'm starting to work on what I really do want. What means more to me now didn't mean the same to me a year ago, didn't mean the same to me 2 years ago, even 5 years ago. I looked at the relationship I was in 5 years ago because I was reflecting on Memorial Day. And when I took her to Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia, and she was the first woman that I loved more than myself. And that breakup for me was really hard because I was going through a tough time. My mom was dealing with a different type of cancer at the time. I had an injury to my arm. Work was crazy. And her breakup just came at a time where I didn't see it coming. And I felt like I had a lot of stuff to deal with. And it really hurt. Now looking back, it wasn't just so much the breakup as much as I loved her. It was the timing behind it. And I guess I wasn't mature enough to handle that back then. She definitely wasn't mature with the way our relationship was going, the way we broke up. It was silly. And I look at that because every time I come around Memorial Day, like I was with another girl, this time another woman, but my Memorial Days have been all over the place. There was a Memorial Day in 2012 when I had a really young girl and I just got a brand new car and I met up with her and we had some drama and it went over to social media and that was just silly. Last year I took my niece to Dublin. That's what I did for Memorial Day. 3 years ago I got LASIK done and I was blind for most Memorial Day. Not really, but I healed up. Memorial Day has always had some sort of impact on my life. It's just the way it felt. And this year, as I was spending my time with her, I had a time to come back and I'm really like looking at her. One of the things that she yells at me about is that I look at her too much. Not in a creepy way. I just, looking at her, it made me think about this is something and someone has a lot of qualities of things that I didn't know I want and now I always knew I wanted. And in my head, and I'm giving a title to this, and it's probably the title, partial title of the podcast, is that quota system I was just talking about. To me, you put all that stuff aside. You can make the list. You can make it that you want somebody that is similar to you, someone that you want to marry, someone you want to have kids with. That's all coming. I'm not saying that's secondary, but that will come, right? Hopefully long term as things start to build in a relationship. But up front, I just broke it down to the four things, 25% of each one that I'm making more of than I'm building on. I would say this is that 25% that adds up to 100 is the foundation that with her, or hopefully it's with her, but I'm saying with any other woman in the future, this is where I'm building my foundation, that 25% of each thing that I'm looking for. So for me, here's where it falls into, right? And again, nothing, I'm not saying one weighs more than the other, so don't jump on me with the physical and all that stuff, but I'm just going to start with the physical. 25% weight on the beauty. 25% on brains. You feel me on that? 25% ball-busting sense of humor. And that's right down the middle, because some people can laugh at me, have a sense of humor, but I need that ball-busting back because I'm a ball-buster. But to me, more so now, when she's a ball buster, that makes me happy, and I like that. And that last 25% is empathy. I got that a lot because I think that's something that's been missing. When I go back to the 5 years with the woman that broke up with me at that time, she wasn't empathetic. She wasn't empathetic towards what I was going through with my mom, my life, and that. To her, she's like, I'm just going to break up right here and stop talking to you for a week. And we dragged that out far too long, that breakup. And that, every other time after that, there were a few other girls. There was a woman I dated, and she had kids. She was a single mom, but we were getting closer. She never looked at things my way. She was sweet, but she wasn't empathetic. And I need someone now that has a big heart. And I think I got that because my mother was like that. My mother always looked for the best in people when I would look for the worst. It's a quality I've always envied about my mother, and I wish I got to tell her that when she was alive. She would always say, the crazies talk to me. Well, the crazies talked to her because my mother was, I'm an extrovert, she's an extrovert. She's very approachable. I'm approachable when I want to be approachable. That's the big difference because I'm getting better at that in my work and style as a manager at the office, people in my life. I'm really putting a lot of work into the people that are putting work into me. A lot of my relationships that were so strong 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even a year ago, aren't as strong because I've seen a shift in some of that with these people. No fault of their own. I've changed, they've changed, but I see who they keep around them. I see where they're not empathetic or giving or kind or care enough about what I got going on in my life, whether it's my career, whether it's me turning a milestone birthday age, whether it's me in the podcast, whether it's them choosing not to listen or read T-Blog, support my stuff the way I felt like I was supporting them, their new home, their kids, their kids' milestones, their own milestones. I pulled away from a lot of that because I think people change. And again, I'm not saying it's ill will on my side or even their side. It's just that that really hit home. And the people, and again, I'll throw it up there, like my best friend, he hasn't been on the podcast yet. He's very empathetic. He always checks in on me, see how I'm doing. One of my important lady friends, we work together. We go back almost 10 years now. She's very empathetic. I'm very empathetic to her life. And we always look out for each other. I gotta say, Bilo the co-host, he's not just the co-host, he's one of my closest friends. He busts my balls probably more than anyone. I bust his balls more than anyone. We say some fucked up shit to each other to bust balls. But anytime that I want to change it up and talk about something in my life, or he wants to talk about something, I'm not even saying on the podcast, he's very concerned about my life and shows interest. And that, for me, all built me up to saying, hey, the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with, I want that. So that 25% is weighted to that. So the 25% across the board in the four-quarter system that I'm going with is looks, it's brains, it's humor with the ball busting thrown on top of it, that's a cherry on the top, and it's empathy, a good heart. I need a woman with a good heart. I need all that. And that's what I'm building off of. And I think it'd be surprising, like, right, 41 years of dating, you'd think that'd be easy to find. And I think sometimes I found that in different areas. I found different some percent of that. Maybe when I look back now, when I really came up with this system to share on the podcast, some of them had one out of the four. Some had two, some had three. Some maybe came close to that four. Or for some reason, they would turn off that switch. One thing I've noticed too, me, I love making people laugh. Whether at me or with me, I love busting their balls. I love doing what I can. I notice when I've been in relationships with women, once they've made up their mind whether or not they want to move on from me or somebody else, or they knew the breakup was coming even from my direction, they stop laughing, and that changed. You could change that anytime, just like that caring heart. I've seen that. I've seen that, the empathetic heart. Maybe they weren't caring as enough, and they pulled back. And I always look back at all these relationships. I'm a very giving person. If I care about you, I'm giving. I'll be there for you. I'll support you. I'll whip somebody's ass for you. I'll hide a fucking body for you. I'll spoil you. I'll take you away. I don't put a price tag on that. I don't keep score. But when I feel like I'm not getting that back, again, it's not just a friend or family member, but someone I'm dating, you don't have to give me that back. I know I'm always going to be given more giving in the relationship. I'm okay with that. But something out of this woman I've been dating, and a couple of them have been like this too, that reaching for the check, wanting to pay, grabbing it before I can, picking up the Uber, or like remembering, like, no, you just got this. Are you crazy? I have to get this. And it's this, they're sincere about it. That ties into that empathetic, that empathy system for me. And the brains too. You have to carry a fucking conversation, ladies. At this point, 41, I have no right fucking around with 22 or 23 year olds. They're great to look at. They're physically beautiful. But I can't talk to you. We have nothing in common. You're not dumb. It's just that I've done more in life that made me have all this wisdom that you have yet to attain. You will one day. I just can't do that. And even the ones that have the age on me, closer to my age, mid to late 30s, you know, some of them still haven't formulated an opinion for themselves. They don't really want to know. Like on these dating apps, there are people on there that some go too far. Like, oh, swipe left if you're a Trump supporter. You know, I'm not, but I mean, I can't believe you put that in your bio. And then there's some who are like, well, I don't know my political aspirations, or I don't know if I even want kids, or I don't know about this. You know, it's, you got to have, they're old saying, right? You got to put a stake in the ground. And I feel like with this and this quota system and what I'm seeing coming off the apps, I didn't think I would get that far. I thought the dating apps would just been a bit that Bill and I were going to have some fucking fun with. We're actually going to take it a little further, video some of the dates, have some fun with it. But, you know, I got back to dating and I met some good ones. And right now there's one in particular that stands out, and the quota system. She's filling that. That's the foundation, and I want to continue to build off that. And I think I found a good starting point. Okay, I'll say that much. I got a good starting point, and I'll leave it at that. I don't want to spoil it because I haven't even told her about the podcast yet, the T-blog. Because one thing I was telling Bilo when I mentioned on the previous podcast, it was difficult for me when I would share this part. It's fine if I share the scripts and let a woman read the scripts and get to know that part of me. Sometimes now, even at 41, it's tough to open up about East Boston and growing up the way I did, being broke, the stuff with my mom, my dad being in prison. I'm cautious about that too, but let alone now to say, oh yeah, I'm a guy that has a really good career and I got a day job and I'm good at it and, you know, this is what I do. But outside of that, yeah, I got a thing called T-Blog or the podcast, and they go read up on me or they listen to the podcast and you make assumptions. You know, you think, I mean, this is who I am, obviously. But there's aspects of that. Like T-Blog, I wrote from different perspectives, some different times in my life. You have to catch that guy when I was writing about my teen years or my 20s. If you read something, if you happen, the first thing you open up a T-Blog and it's a story about something I wrote or something fucked up I did in my 20s, you may judge me on that and just think that's it. You may read one T-episode and, oh my God, this is how this guy really is. So no, that's not how I am. You just happen to open that up and you read that about me and you're assuming that's it. By the way, there's 399 more fucking stories on there. They still don't tell my full life story. I think I did a good job capturing that. But there's more to that if you want to continue to read. Or better yet, let me tell you, let me show you. Same with the podcast. I mean, right now, I've always been a guy under a Sox hat. Right now, I got a voice behind it. It was always my words on the screen. Nobody heard this. Nobody heard T, this guy. I think I could be more honest on a microphone sitting in, you know, the T Palace by myself or shooting the shit with B-Lo. It's like two boys having a conversation. But you're going to make assumptions about that. And how I talk to B-Lo isn't how I'm going to talk to you. How I talk here by myself isn't how I'm going to talk to you. So it's something that, especially now with some of these ladies, especially one in particular, that I, this back in the day, I'd be like, yeah, read T-Block, you know. Go to my Instagram, look at the cool photos I take. I don't know. I don't want to do that. So I want them to get to really know me. I want this one in particular to really get to know me. So that's tough for me, you know, to open up about that part of me. So had to get that out there. The quota system, ladies and gentlemen, I gave it a name. A couple other things I want to get into. I noticed, again, this is a real switch in direction here on the podcast. New Hampshire last week became the 21st state to abolish the death penalty. I didn't realize that there's 21 out of the 50 states that have abolished the death penalty, right? And again, this may not sit well with a lot of people. Again, growing up in East Boston, and I think some of that's still in me, growing up around the criminals and seeing how that is, I still have, to that extent, that eye for an eye mentality. And I know a lot of people say an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. I don't think so. Like, when it comes to the death penalty, and again, I understand some people get put on death row and then they get proven innocent with, you know, DNA and testings. There's certain forensics and stuff that, oh my God, we put the wrong guy away. And some people may have obviously been given the death penalty and they were innocent. I get that. But there are true people out there that have done horrendous, terrible fucking crimes. Murdering and raping kids, multiple women, like shit like that. And you do get them. You do get them with the evidence. You get them with the fucking smoking gun. You get them just basically admitting to what they've done. I honestly, and I still feel this way, and again, you abolish the death penalty all you want. This made me think, like, if you did something like that, and you went through our system, hook or by crook, if they fucked up or not, if we didn't get the right person, if you get found guilty and you were found of that, I'm all for, why are we putting prolonged people on death row? They stay on death row during the appeal system from 1 to 5 to 10 to 20 years. Our taxes are paying for them to eat, to lift, to read in there. They got a home. I get that. And that happens. That sucks. It's unfortunate. But I don't think the death penalty should be abolished. I don't know if in 2019 I'm in the minority for this. But if you rape and murder a fucking kid, or you rape anyone or murder anyone or multiple people, there's no coming back from that. I don't care if you're going to make peace, whatever religion you're doing, only God can judge me. Fuck that. You've been judged. We have a judicial system for a reason. We have being judged by 12 jurors, your peers, for a reason. And if you get sentenced, they should have the death penalty and your life should be taken away just like that. Whether it's the fucking electric chair, I know mostly some of it now, it's not even the gas chamber anymore, it's lethal injection. I don't think the death penalty should be abolished. I do think it serves some sort of a purpose. And I just wanted to get that out there because I saw that and I had no idea that we were abolishing it like that across the board. Last week too, at Memorial Day, when I was off hanging out with this lady friend, I had a couple of days off. Something I want to put out there is I share, you know, some of my experiences with my father. He and I went to Foxwoods the day after Memorial Day. And Foxwoods, I haven't been down there in a long time. Maybe I get down there once a year. Usually it's for like a bachelor party or something like that. I've never been down there with my dad. Similar to Vegas, we did a guy's day trip. I picked him up in Wesley Snipes. And we drove down. We got down there early afternoon. And it was the day after Memorial Day. Figured it'd be dead, and it was. It was mostly elderly people spending their retirement, their pension, their 401k. Usually when I've been down on the weekends for bachelor parties or when I've gone down there, usually it's the more expensive tables. They're like $20, $25 tables. The day after Memorial Day with all the elderly on a fucking Tuesday, $5 tables. $5 tables. We had our pick. We had our pick of I'm a letter ride guy. I'm a blackjack guy. My dad will sit with me for that to an extent, but he likes the video poker. So all in all, we also had a gift card that I got a couple years ago. He and my mom, they never used it, so he wanted to use it. You could use the gift cards at Foxwoods anywhere but gambling. You could use it for the bingo. That's mostly why I got it, because my mother used to play bingo. And now that she's no longer with us, he wanted to use it. So we weren't going to stay down there. We weren't going to roam. I was like, let's go. I was like, I found the steak place inside Foxwoods that they were serving the steak even during the day. We had like an early dinner, late lunch. Just two guys sitting across from each other, and I got the prime rib. I hardly ever get the prime rib because it's fatty and salty, but I was in the mood for it, and it was a good cut. I got the special cut, the larger cut. My father, he's simple when it comes to steak, even though I always get him, like, take him to steak restaurants. He got the larger filet mignon. The filet, it doesn't matter what type of steak it is. Growing up, steak was a treat when my mother would save up a few dollars and we'd get Delmonico steaks. She'd take them home, put them on the broiler on the bottom of the stove and cook them up. That was okay when you broil those up because a $7 steak to us was a treat back then. It's not a $50, $60, $80 fucking steak like we go for now. But back then you would take it, right, cut it up, medium, medium rare, a couple French fries off to the side that my mother made in the oven, throw salt on, a little A1. My father, it doesn't matter if it's that $7 Delmonico or that $60 fucking 12-ounce filet. Bone-in filet. He fucking, every time, ladies and gentlemen, I kid you not, he'll ask the waiter, can you bring over some salt and some A1 sauce? And I look at him every time, and he's like, what? I go, you know what I'm going to say. There's a reason why there's no fucking salt and A1 sauce on the table. These steaks, they age, the cuts, they're flavorful on their own. You get it just like me, Dad, medium rare. That's enough. You wouldn't worry about how the fuck I eat. I go, because it's insulting to the restaurant, to the fucking cow that gave his fucking life for you to enjoy. And you're throwing fucking salt and A1 on the motherfucker. So, of course, he put it on there. I'm sitting there eating. My father, you gotta chop up in little tiny beats. It's pieces. It's like feeding a fucking cat. I swear Tigger eats his food bigger than how my father cuts up a steak. So we take our time, we're eating, we're enjoying the fucking meal. We had some good sides, we had some wine. It was fun. Then we go back to the tables. I was already down. Again, for $5 tables, it's kind of difficult to be down, but I was. So I stopped doing Letter Ride. Letter Ride, I never got so many cold fucking cards in my life. Decided to try to go with the blackjack and try to make some money. This blackjack table that I was at, another $5 table. So you go one for one, one to one and a half if you get blackjack. There's a little side circle where you can match the dealer. So whatever the dealer flips over, if it's a seven and you flip, because the other two cards get flipped over, right? Face up, that's what they call it, facing up. If it's a seven, I match that, I get paid off that. If I get another seven on the two cards I flipped over, I get that again. So I really wasn't going to do that until I saw how many people were hitting. And in blackjack, you got pretty good odds, right? There's a lot of pitcher cards, and you're going to flip all those pitcher cards. There might be a good chance that I get an ace for your ace, a king for your king, a queen for a queen. And that was happening a lot. So I started making some of my money back. I was winning a little bit on blackjack itself, but the matching the card with the dealer, I was making some of my money back. But I got cold again. My father ended up winning. He won $150 doing video poker. That's right. Tapping fucking buttons on a machine, which I think it's an algorithm. I think it's fucking fixed. He got $150. Me, from the cold letter ride and then my cold run after my hot run on blackjack, I lost on $5 tables, probably about a 6 hour day. I'll take away an hour and a half for the fucking steak. So it's probably a 4.5 hour day at the tables, two tables. I lost $300 fucking dollars. You believe that shit? And this is why, I said it on T-Blog, I'll say it here. I respect money too much. I worked too fucking hard just to piss it away. I get it. It was fun. It was entertaining. It wasn't a big dent. It was hardly a fucking dent in my pocket. It was fun to do something with my father. He wanted to go down there. Then we had to drive back. And of course, everybody was thinking like we were. They decided to drive back on fucking Tuesday. They must have took a long, long Memorial Day weekend. And we had all the fucking traffic coming back to Boston. It took us 2 hours and 45 minutes to get fucking home. But I wanted to share my little casino run, my little casino story with all of you. If you ever take your parents to a casino during the day with the elderly, it's something there. A couple other things I wanted to hit home on. Drake. All right, well, I'll get to this really quick. Drake, I got no problem him being singing his little sad songs. He's a very sensitive motherfucker, okay? The hardcore kid from Canada. The hardcore rapper from Canada. Because we all know Canada's about that thug life, let alone Toronto. Toronto, which is probably one of the nicest, most cleanest fucking cities on the planet. Drake is from Toronto. Drake, and I had to look into this because I didn't know if he was, and I usually don't, but I did this for the sake of this conversation. Drake, I thought he was a minority owner in the Toronto Raptors. He's not. He's the Toronto Raptors ambassador because he grew up in Toronto. He's a big Toronto Raptors fan. So you take the guy who, again, he can sing his little sappy sad songs that the ladies love. I had a problem when he would start getting hardcore with his raps because, again, like me called him out, he definitely doesn't write his raps. Maybe he writes the singing verses. And he got a sound, he has a voice, it's very distinct, got mass appeal, has a lot of fans, I get that. It's tough, there's not a lot of people that exist that can run both R&B and rap this day and age. So be that, be the performer. You left, you know, your acting career, that's behind you, you want to be an R&B guy slash rapper, I get that. But the face of a basketball team, even though you're not an owner, you're not a player, you're not in the front office, a lot like Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson would sit down back in the 80s. I grew up with him. He still does it, right? Front row with the Lakers. Sits there. Used to get vocal. Now he's like 80s heavy now. Back in the day, he used to get up and yell. You know, Jack Nicholson got away with that. Spike Lee does that with the New York Knicks. Spike Lee's a douchebag. He doesn't like me. I think he's a racist. Has me blocked for years on Twitter. We'll get into that on another day. I think he's just a dickhead. But Spike Lee, same with the Knicks. Front row, sitting up there, has nothing to do with the team. And then there was that one time Calvin Klein, the Calvin Klein law was actually called, got up and hugged a player in the middle of a fucking basketball game because he was drunk out of his mind. And Larry David even spoofed that on Curb. On Curb Your Enthusiasm, he tripped Shaquille O'Neal that time in the middle of a game by accident because he had front row. But there's certain lines that you can't cross being a celebrity at a game. Drake, somehow the Toronto Raptors allowed him to be the ambassador. He's the international brand ambassador. So he kind of has a job, but he doesn't. He just has a title. So with that title, he gets to sit, mostly stand, right next to the Toronto Raptors bench. And now, the Toronto Raptors, again, I don't think I'm biased because my Celtics didn't lose to them. They lost to the Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks ended up losing to the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are now in the NBA Finals playing the Golden State Warriors. I got no problem with Golden State. I love seeing a good dynasty. I like seeing the Chicago Bulls with their run. I was hoping that the Bucks would have got in to play Golden State. I had no problem whether it was Milwaukee after they beat my Celtics or Toronto, seeing the underdog going in and maybe the upset. The only thing better than a dynasty is an underdog upset. So I got no problem with the Raptors. I had no problem with the Bucks. Now it's the Raptors as a team. I like Kawhi. I think Kawhi, he's going to stay there if they win the whole thing, even going to the Eastern Conference Finals and now going to the NBA Finals. But if they win the whole thing, they may restructure his contract. What Kawhi Leonard is doing is he's one guy, right? And they put a stat up there. This is the first time a team made it to the NBA Finals in the last, like, I think it was like 20 years without a top 14 draft pick, because he came in below that. This team is showing the Toronto Raptors a true team mentality, unlike Golden State, who's all these superstars. They're all literally all-stars. So I'm kind of hoping that Toronto would upset and do their thing. Right now the series is 1-1 as this recording. My beef with Toronto is because of fucking Drake talking shit to the Golden State Warriors. All season long, it's one thing to run your mouth during the regular season, but to become that vocal and allow to run your mouth during the playoffs, let alone the Eastern Conference Finals and now the NBA Finals, he got into fucking Draymond Green. He got into his face. And I guess they had some rapport where they're not enemies, but they were shit talking. Dude, I put a comment on one of the fucking, I think it was one of Barstool's posts, that Drake never got beat up in high school in his shows. And it got a whole bunch of fucking likes. I did it on my T-Podcast account, not the T-Blog account, because he is. It's like, you are a kid who went into acting, and now you're a singer, and now you're an ambassador for a team. You think you can run your mouth. You're not a thug. You're not fucking Tupac. Puff Daddy, Diddy, slapped you and made you his bitch. You're not a tough guy, Drake. Aubrey, your real name, with your owl tattoos and your corny t-shirts. You're not a tough guy, with your smiles and your weird trash talking. You're going to get fucked up, and I'm hoping it happens. I still want Toronto to win, but not for you, because that part of me now wants them to lose, because you're a douchebag. I'm telling you all right now, this douchery, this douchebaggery, this fuckery from Drake is making me dislike him even more and not want to root for the Toronto Raptors. So I had to get that out there. I think Drake is a douchebag, and I want to see him get fucked up, and then I want to see his Raptors lose. I want them to go 7 games. I want them to give them a run. But because of Drake, I can no longer cheer for the Toronto Raptors. Last thing I wanted to get out there tonight. Disney's in this kick for the last 10 years of taking their cartoons and giving these big-time directors the ability to turn them into live-action movies. We've seen it a few times. Most recently, Guy Ritchie, big fan of his stuff. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch. Always love Guy Ritchie movies. He just did Aladdin with Will Smith. So that's one of the latest ones. I didn't see it, no desire to see it, even though I like Guy Ritchie, even though I like Will Smith. One other movie they announced that's been in the work for a couple years is Lion King. They're taking The Lion King and making that into a live-action movie. Now, it's one thing to take Aladdin, which had humans in it. You could get human actors to do that. The Lion King, obviously, you're going to find a way to CGI these animals. And they're making them as realistic as possible. And they released all the pictures this past week. And mostly on Twitter, I saw this trending. People got pissed about one character in particular. So you got to think of Simba, what he would look like as a real lion. Well, it looks like a lion. You got to think of the whole family of lions. They have to look like realistic animals. This Timon and Pumbaa. Pumbaa is a warthog. He's a pig with the tusks and shit. He was ugly in the fucking cartoon. People on Twitter are offended and they think that Pumbaa looks too ugly. What the fuck did you think a warthog was going to look like? A realistic warthog. Like, are you out of your fucking mind? And people are bitching, like, well, who wants to see that? Again, it's realism. It's the Lion King brought to life the story with animals. They're taking real-life animals and they're CGI-ing them. They're CGI-ing them to the way where they could, like, make mannerisms. And they could talk. And they're putting, like, the voices of actors into their bodies. But they got to make it realistic. And the fact that people, the millennials and the Gen Zers, are people this day and age that have too much time in their hands, are taking to fucking Twitter to complain about what Pumbaa looks like, really says it all about the separation and these fucking generations. It's fucking scary. And I'm telling you all right now, find other things to fucking focus on than what a cartoon character looks like in a live action CGI motherfucking Disney movie. That's it. Hans Zimmer's coming in. That is the show, ladies and gentlemen. Where to find me? On Instagram. I dropped a few. Tigger's account. The T Podcast account. The _T _podcast for all my podcast stuff. T Blog, all one word, for some amazing pics. On Twitter. I'm on there because I'm only following the trends, even though I only tweet some random shit here and there. But you could DM me. You could follow me along on Twitter. You can add mention, whatever you want to do. T-Blog, all one word. On Facebook, I still have the T-Blog page. DM me, comment on there. I share some stuff on Facebook as well still. And, of course, you could email me at t@t-blog.com. Where else to find me? Of course, always here. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Maybe this week could be two times. I'm going to go for three. I'm going to do my review of Godzilla after this one. Hopefully, I'll get one on with B-Low. So, hopefully, I'll have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. And, of course, I mentioned it several times on today's podcast. Go back to T-Blog. Go back reading about my dating systems, the 80-20, the 50-50. All the history, a lot of my content, a lot of my influence I try to bring to life for the podcast. A lot of it all started on T-Blog. You can read up on my life there. Just don't read up on my life like if you're a woman on dating, because more to me than T-Blog in this podcast. It's something I love doing, and I wanted to share that with all of you. And that's the shorter one. Until next time, always take it there.